Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Mail call.
It's a mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
It's our mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN. The HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there now for our first question that you have for the Killer Bees. Will, what you got for us? What's your question on our mailbag Monday?
Yes, I want to find out about this high firing of our coach, man. My thing is, I want to know, we all know that last year and this year, we didn't have a quarterback, basically, that we were really counting on. So my thing is, the team was kind of in disarray. That's for me, double record and everything. And I mean, the guy was given 1 year, just like the other guy was given 1 year last year. It goes back to when we had Deshaun. You know, we gave him that contract, I understand. Deshaun got mad and said he wanted out of here.
Will, are you getting to a question? Are you getting, what's your question?
It's mailbag, Will.
Will, I am. What's your question for the Killer Bees?
The question is I'm just trying to find out why is Lovey gone after a year?
Okay. Appreciate the question, Will. We would say, well, I don't want to speak for blankers. I would say that the Texans went backwards from a year ago, 3 wins versus 4 wins, despite having a better roster. Davis Mills, lousy, yes, but Davis Mills actually showed signs in year one, last 5 games, didn't show really those signs at all this year. And I believe that Cal McNair, quite honestly, is telling Nick Caserio, look, I hired Lovey Smith from out from under you last year. I took away your coaching hire. I'm going to give you the coaching hire this year, but this is the dude that you're either going to live or die with. And I support that. We need Nick Caserio to have that rope to see what he does with it.
And I would say everything that Jeremy said, but I will say more importantly, this franchise is moving forward. The year is over. It was ugly. To move forward and to know with the draft capital that you possess, the chances are better than pretty much anything else, you're going to end up with your franchise quarterback somewhere out of this draft. If that's the case, you need a coach that is an offensive-minded coach along with an offensive coordinator and an offensive system that is going to develop and give this kid the best chance to succeed. Lovey is an old-school defensive coach. Lovey hired his son on defense as a coordinator. Lovey hired Pep, and Pep was not good. So I think that with all the things Jeremy said, coupled with what I just added, I believe that this is why the timing was absolutely, it was imperative that to make the move when they did.
I would reverse the question. If you're going to ask the question, why would they fire Lovey, tell us, why should they keep Lovey? Yeah. What over the course of this season did Lovey show you with his choices of this coaching staff, with their win-loss record going backwards despite better talent? What did he show you in the season to prove that he deserves to keep the job?
Absolutely nothing. 713-780-ESPN. Eric the Driver, as both a Texans and Broncos fan, which team is in a worse situation in y'all's opinions? At least Denver has one side of the ball locked up.
Their I don't know, man. Legit.
Yeah, they got a $250 million in their quarterback.
I think Denver is in dire straits because of the fact that they are dealing with Russell Wilson's contract. They are dealing with having given up a lot of draft capital and young players to get Russell Wilson. And the fact that from the defense that they got, they have contracts that are going to have to use a lot of money to get and to retain and some of the trades that they made. Whereas the Texans are going to get a ton of money back. So they're going to have money to play with. They got a ton of draft capital. They have a chance to get a young, up-and-coming franchise-type quarterback. And so the slate looks a lot easier going forward to be clean and free and easy for you to do what you need to do as opposed to all the limitations you're going to face with all the things Denver has.
I think the Broncos are in a better spot for the next like 1, 2, 3 years, whereas the Texans are in a better spot anything greater than 3 years. The division doesn't look as great as we thought at the beginning of the season.
But yet still, but it still is more competitive.
But if
you're
a coaching candidate looking at jobs, do you really want to go in the division where you're facing Patrick Mahomes and knowing you're probably not going to win the division?
And Justin Herbert.
If I'm a coaching candidate looking at jobs, who's in my division's the last of my worries?
No, but I'm saying
the last of my worries.
Well, but we do know wins and losses are how you somewhat partially, it's a variable you use in judging everybody. Uh-huh. So if you're judged by winning games and you play everybody in your division twice.
Sure, but that changes like that. We all thought that the AFC West was going to be outstanding, and it really wasn't.
No, but it's still a factor.
The
South is
different strokes for different folks. Okay. If I'm one of the top candidates in a coaching carousel, who's in my division is one of the last things I'm worried about. I'm looking at my roster. I'm looking at my contract. I'm looking at ownership. I'm looking at the GM. I'm looking at what I have in draft capital going forward. Very, very, very at the bottom of the list is who else is in my division. 713-780-ESPN, our Mailbag Monday. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. Jackson, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, with JJ retiring, man, what is y'all's opinion? Greatest Texan all time, Andre or JJ?
This is always a tough one, Jackson. I have to give the lean to J.J. Watt. I think J.J. Watt's the greatest Texan of all time. I think they're both going to be Hall of Famers. J.J. Watt won 3 Defensive Players of the Year. Andre Johnson did not win a single Player of the Year. I think that J.J. was an All-Pro 5 times. I think Andre was 4. I'll have to double-check that. But J.J. Watt, if you were 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, that gives you the victory as the greatest Houston Texan of all time.
He's got a runner-up for the MVP award also.
Well, runner-up MVP, yeah. And what I was going to say is two back-to-back 20-plus sack seasons, too, which I don't believe has ever been done, but he's in rare company.
I believe only one other player's done it.
Okay, well,
but at most one other player.
And there was a couple other stats where it's him, Lawrence Taylor, and somebody else in a lot of all-time defensive categories.
Yeah, I think the only 3 players to win 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards are Watt, Taylor, and Aaron Donald.
Yeah, so I think that, look, not to slight Andre Johnson, because it's great when you can talk about those two guys at the top of your list, but I think J.J. ends up being, now that he's retiring, the greatest Texan of all time. He should sign the one-day contract.
No.
He should retire the Texan.
I want a lifetime contract for J.J. Watt. 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 5-time first-time All-Pro, a 2-time second-team All-Pro. Andre has 2 first-team All-Pros, 2 second-team All-Pros. I don't really think it's that close. 713-780-ESPN. Questions for the Killer Bees. 713-780-3776. Our Mailbag Monday. Q. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Q? What's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hey, Happy New Year, y'all.
Happy New Year.
My question is our head coaching candidate. I'm thinking D'Amico Ryan. I mean, he was sought after last year. He's coming from the Kyle Shanahan tree, which is actually proven to be a pretty good tree. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I don't mind D'Amico. D'Amico's not at the top of my list. Ben Johnson's the top guy at my list. But if you're telling me that the Texans are going to hire a defensive-minded coach, I'd rather have D'Amico Ryans than Jonathan Gannon from Philadelphia.
Now, I agree with that.
The caveat that we were talking about as well a little bit earlier, Q, is who D'Amico's offensive coordinator is going to matter a lot. I love the idea. If you're telling me that D'Amico Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans in 4 weeks, I want the offensive coordinator to be Gary Kubiak.
Okay, and that's why I don't want a defensive-minded head coach, because I want 2 offensive minds in the room. I want the most innovative offense that I can find. I think even – I don't know where you are on Harbaugh, but the apprehension I have, as much as Harbaugh was able to do when he was in San Francisco, the thing that worries me is he didn't have the same kind of offense, and he didn't have – the same kind of coordinators at Michigan. So I'm curious if Harbaugh would be considered, and because he's so hands-on as an as a coach, but in the offensive, you know, in the way he makes offensive decisions. That's why I'm a little leery now about Harbaugh. He'd make a splash from a media perspective, but I don't know that I really am that enamored with Harbaugh as the coach of the Texans either, though he brings some cachet, he brings a name, he brings some definitive, like, I'm in control of the situation type vibes. I don't know that I feel that great about him developing the franchise quarterback.
Harbaugh is below D'Amico for me, honestly, even though he's an offensive guy.
I'd go Ben Johnson. Harbaugh, I think, is above D'Amico for me, but I don't know if there's going to be another candidate that might supplant him as number 2 on my list right now.
Harbaugh has a better head coaching resume than D'Amico's never been a head coach, but he's weird. Like,
he is. He's quirky.
He's quirky. He's weird. Like, I wouldn't be mad at it, but I'd be kind of like, meh.
At least I'd know that there'd be a strong voice in the room with Caserio and ownership and anybody else if there's things he didn't agree with.
Vera's saying the coaching staff, I did see this. I saw most of this. Vera's saying that Gannon said he'd bring Frank Reich as offensive coordinator. Zimmer is the defensive coordinator, Vikings head coach, former Vikings head coach. This is not the one I saw. I didn't see that he'd bring Mike Munchak as the offensive line. But would that coaching staff do it for you, Blankers?
No, not really. I mean, look, and Mike Zimmer's last stop was he was defensive coordinator at Jackson State for Deion, and Deion was paying him out of his own check. Zimmer, look, is old school defense, but Zimmer needs a lot of resources to work with. I don't know that he's got enough right now that he's going to work with, and he's old school. I think I'm looking for the more younger, modern day coaches.
Jonathan Gannon would be your head coach.
I'm saying Gannon's a good call, right? But again, we're talking about defensive minded coaches. I just in the camp that if I'm going to really restructure this franchise, starting with an offensive minded draft, I want offensive minded coaches first and foremost at the helm, and a really good one as offensive coordinator.
How would you feel about DeMeco as the head coach and Kingsbury as the OC, fired today by the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think Kingsbury's a guy that if he wants to, could be a very interesting offensive coordinator in this league, and that he could help anybody because he's done it and made it work with a short quarterback in Kyler Murray.
An incredibly gifted short quarterback.
You love him.
He's one of the greatest athletes ever. Name another person who was drafted number one in the NFL draft and top 10 in a Major League Baseball draft.
Well, I'm not worried about all that. I'm worried about how he plays quarterback, his body language, his attitude, and the way he's succeeded so far.
Sure,
not
but that's
succeeded
not skill. That's not.
But it's important.
Agreed.
But I think Kingsbury knows how to he has his finger on the pulse of how offense is played in the NFL this day and age, and I think he'd be a good add if he's willing to be an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think he might be looking. I don't know what he's looking for. I have no idea.
You think he'd go back to college?
I think he would. Yeah, I think he would. 713-780 ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Willie, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hello.
Hey.
I just want to say, I love the Texans, but the thing about it, they need to get a coach in here and let them look over this organization, this team, and see just what they need and give him some input, whoever the general manager is, on what players he wants.
Yeah.
Thanks, Willie.
And
Willie,
I'm going to say this.
Oh. Well, B-Mac said you've said enough.
I think his question was going to be, do you agree with him? I do. I do agree with you, Willie. I think that Nick Caserio, because there's been some rumors and thought that Nick Caserio wants a heavy say in the coaching staff of the head coaches that he's brought on, probably why he ended up with David Culley. I don't believe he hired Lovie Smith. Nick Caserio needs to give his coaches that he hires, the head coach he hires, the leeway to hire their own staff and give them more power than he's shown that he's willing to give. Let's get one more. 713-780-ESPN. Jasper, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Yes, sir. Joel?
Yes, Jasper.
Jeremy, love you guys. My question is for Jeremy. Just wanted to say love Joel, but my question is for Jeremy. The Texans have driven me to drinking.
I've got
a bottle of Gentle Ben vodka.
My man.
And I need to know what type of cocktail I need to make.
Jasper, the beautification of Branham is back, baby. So I've been trying to watch the calories a little bit. I've just been mixing it with like some LaCroix or a little sparkling water, a little bit of lime, or you can just go old school, mix it in with a little bit of water, drop a little lime in there, or you can drink it straight. Those are my three go-tos right now, Jasper, if you're looking to watch the weight. If you need a little bit of a better mixer, maybe you got a sweet tooth, have just like a little ginger ale, a little splash of ginger ale in there. I keep it simple, stupid. Not calling you, Jasper, stupid. Maybe I am. 713.
You're not be calling me stupid.
He wanted to say hello to you.
Yes.
713-780-ESPN. That's our mailbag Monday. Lovie Smith is gone. He is no longer the head coach of the Houston Texans. What is our wish list? What are our dream scenarios? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
With you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Good news from DeMar Hamlin. He's been discharged from the hospital, returning home to Buffalo, per the physicians at the University of Cincinnati Health. Vera passing that along on Twitch. I was in Cincinnati this week. Houston Cougar basketball beat Cincinnati, the new number one
team in the country. Go Cougs!
Yeah, I don't know why you're trying to talk fast so you can beat me to the information.
I don't want it to sound like it's always just you.
Rode the elevator with Joe Burrow.
Really?
Rode the elevator with Joe Burrow. I was the coolest guy in the elevator. But yeah, I rode the elevator with Joe Burrow. Where they were, their team hotel the night before the game. As we all know, NFL home team stayed at a hotel in the city before a home game. They were in the same hotel that we were and hopped on the elevator and walked.
You hit him up?
Looked at him eye to eye. I'd like to say it's the reason he played so well yesterday.
You hit him up?
No, I don't bother people. Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
I don't mess with people.
Do this job better and say, hey, we got a radio show in Houston. Would you join us sometime?
And then how's that?
We'd love to have you.
How does that work out?
Yeah, hit me with your cell. We'll make it happen. That's how it works out.
I don't like bothering people.
Yeah, dude.
I'm anti-bothering people.
You look like a good dude. Yeah, my name's Joe. Hey, here's my number. Give me a shout.
He's a beautiful man, by the way. Very handsome, boy. Joe Burrow. He's not as big as you would think. Hmm. He's very slim. He's very slim.
How big is he?
Whoa, hey, man.
I don't know how much he weighs, but I don't know.
Boy.
Vera's saying, Burrow, can you demand a trade to the Texans? I could see where that would be the case, where he just looked at me in the eyes and said, you know what? I got to follow that guy back to the H.
Hypnotized.
Yeah.
By Jeremy.
Back to the H.
Jeremy, come on, man. Do some work. Get him on the show.
Nah, I don't like messing with people. But yeah. So basically, you've
been in a Fridays with AI.
Yeah, hung out with. Yeah, so I hung out with Burrow on a Saturday.
And you've hung with Burrow in an elevator for what?
Best 15 seconds of his life.
Two floors in 15 seconds.
It was from the parking garage to the hotel lobby. And then we had the after party.
Oh, all righty then.
Mm-hmm. Best 15 seconds of his life. Didn't have to say anything to me. Second best player that I've been on an elevator with. Now, I peed next to Biggio and Clemens, Roger Clemens. But
not in a cup. They weren't testing either guy at the time.
They were both in urinals.
Okay.
Yeah, they were both in urinals. The greatest athlete that I've ever been in an elevator with was Greg Maddux in San Diego, the San Diego Hotel right across the street from the ballpark.
Not by his athletic stature and like size and strength, but by his abilities as a pitcher.
His prowess.
Yeah.
His resume. But he was like 40 at the time, so it wasn't as great as riding the elevator with Burrow recently. 713-780-ESPN. Apparently, we're chopped and screwed on the app as well. I mean, that's how you like the Killer Bees.
B-Mac's working on it.
I've been dropping bars all day anyways. It's just par for the course this afternoon.
Oh, boy.
713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Roy, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Roy?
Hey, how you doing, man? How y'all doing today?
Great.
I got a question. What y'all think, whoever? What do you think if Houston would trade with Chicago, give them the one, give us the one, and give them the 12, and give them our 2024 pick, allow them to throw in a six-round pick this year, too, to get the first pick so we can get Will Anderson and whatever quarterback you think they should get?
Hold on a second.
Wait, time out.
Oh,
that's
so
a
you're
lot.
Not, so he's not saying two. You're not saying two, Roy. You're saying that the Texans should trade 12, a future first plus sweeteners to move up to number one. So you would have pick number one and pick number two. I got you.
Exactly.
I appreciate the call, Roy. Yeah, I don't think that's enough. I was talking about this with my group chat a little bit earlier today, and we were talking about it from a Colts perspective. Like, the Colts have picked number four.
Oh, they're looking to move up.
This was the ultimate nightmare we were discussing on Thursday, was that the Texans could win, fall to number two. The Colts, of course, would then have to lose if the Texans win, move up a spot or two. They ended up moving up to number four, and the Colts could now jump the Texans to go to the first pick and draft whatever quarterback it is that's on your pipe dream list.
And so, you're going to see them twice a year.
We were talking about what would the price to be. Well, yeah, you see them twice a year. Like, all of a sudden, your fantasy quarterback is now wearing the blue and white and the horseshoe on the helmet. And now the other, and I think the Colts can be very good very quick because you have Jonathan Taylor, you have Shaquille Leonard. I think that they have a team that could
offensive line,
real quick.
You know, Quentin Nelson and the guys you have in the offensive line. It's not a bad offensive line. Yeah, and Jonathan Taylor's a weapon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I think the Colts could be a playoff team as soon as next year if they hit. What do you think the price would be for the Colts to move from 4 to 1?
Oh, I think there's at least one extra one in the process. I think the Bears move to 4, they go to 1, and then it's going to be and I don't know what the Bears' draft capital looks like, but I would say it would be a 1 next year. And then it would be probably a combination of a two and or a two or a three, and so maybe an extra pick somewhere along the lines. I think that's a starter for them.
I think you could get it done with a future first. I think you can
alone.
Move. I think so.
I don't.
I think it's only three spots. It's only three spots.
Well, but look what the draft history shows with the Trubisky trade or with the Trey Lance trade.
Trubisky wasn't a first, though. Trubisky was like an additional second, but that was to move up one spot. That was to move from like 3 to 2.
3 to 2.
Yeah.
But look at Trey Lance.
That didn't require a first.
The Niners gave up a lot, I think, to get to.
But they also
didn't
have the fourth pick. Like, true. The fourth pick's a huge, huge carrot dangling over this trade.
But because this is a stronger quarterback class, the Bears are going to hold out for a while.
That's the thing, is that the Colts aren't competing. Like, the Colts just aren't trying to do it enough for the Bears to do it. They have to be the best offer. Now, the Colts probably have the best asset. The fourth pick's probably
fourth
the best asset.
Big. Yep.
So that's a huge factor in it. I think it takes at minimum a first. At minimum a first.
That's the starting to open up a conversation, and because of where the first could fall, you definitely are very interested because you know for this year, you're talking about where you still get your guy. And then in future years, the question becomes, well, if you get your guy in the trade that we make, and you guys are good right away because, like we said, the rest of the roster is pretty good, then that pick next year might not be very valuable, and some other team might be able to say, hey, we're still in the middle of a rebuild. Our pick next year is going to be pretty good for you. It'll probably be top 12.
The price for quarterbacks is also very expensive. And nowadays where teams are like more analytical, they're more financial conscious too, that where you understand the value of a quarterback on their rookie contract. Russell Wilson's always the biggest example of this. If whoever's taken at number one, a quarterback, whether you'll just assume it's Bryce Young, because Bryce Young has been mocked number one more than anybody else. Like Deshaun Watson went for 3 firsts, and then Cleveland had to pay him $240 million, right? Russell Wilson got traded for 2 firsts, and they had to go pay him $230 million, whatever it was. Whoever trades up to number one, let's assume it's for Bryce Young, they're paying him the rookie scale. So I think that the trade capital is going to be pretty close to what we saw for Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. But because it's pick number four, maybe it's only an additional first. But I think it's still going to be expensive. But that's worst case scenario for the Texans, I think. Now, there's no way the Texans are trading up to number one. I have seen some fearmongers scared that the Texans are going to use the Cleveland pick, couple it with number two to move up to number one to get the guy that they want.
That's ridiculous.
Which, if that happens, I'm going to be so mad about week 18. I'm going to relive it all over again.
Well, it's not just week 18. I'd be really mad at the franchise because they have so many holes to fill. They need so many able bodies that are going to be above average football players for the foreseeable future that just like trading for Sean Payton, it makes zero sense for me to do what you did to give up the most valuable player on your roster in Deshaun Watson and then dump out to try and get your next version of Deshaun Watson plus with no guarantees and with so many other holes to fill. Whereas in another scenario, you might not get the guy you wanted, but you'll get a franchise-type quarterback, and you'll probably get a receiver or another really good player right off the top at 12. Stop thinking that way.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Go back out to get Daniel in here. Daniel, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Daniel? Be safe.
Hey, I was just thinking, if the Texans fear that somebody's going to jump in and take Bryce Young, what do you think if they trade Brandon Cook and 2 seconds or a second and a third to jump and get the first pick?
I don't think it's enough.
Appreciate the call. I don't think I can do this all the way until April. I don't think I can do Brandon Cooks, 2, and Sweeteners to move up a spot. I don't think I'm capable of doing this.
I can move you to 3 o'clock.
That's well played. 713-780-ESPN, the HRB listener line, 713-780-3776.
For BK and Sweetener?
Call all your outrageous trade proposals to blank and tweet them to blank at Pac-Man Joel. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN. Well, let's get to our pipe dream. Let's get to our wish list of the quarterback spot. We haven't done that yet. It's the killer. I started thinking about Joe Burrow and us locking eyes in
you
that
were
Cincinnati
dreaming.
Elevator.
Barkley's love of Brady isn't anything to yours to Joe Burrow.
713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN
92.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We'll get into our wish list. What we want for the Texans during this little, I guess, coaching carousel. Another one, third year in a row. Casario delivering the content. We're going to peel back the curtain a little bit. We have a call right now on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It says he wants to talk about Jennifer Gardner.
That's so weird.
What do you think?
And random.
What do you? Yeah, let's try to guess what Keith wants to talk about with the Killer Bees. Like, is it just maybe he rode the elevator with Jennifer Gardner? Let's find out.
Yes, I believe you're probably maybe that's right. What it is. That's a good call.
Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, what do you want to say about Jennifer Gardner?
Hey. Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Now, I was just wanted to see Jeremy's Joe Burrow and raise him one Jennifer Gardner. I was on the elevator with Jennifer Gardner.
What makes you think it's a race?
During her alias days, and she was absolutely beautiful. Not as beautiful as when I was on the elevator with Mario Williams. But yeah, Jennifer Gardner was the bomb.
Mario Williams is more beautiful than. Wait a minute, what?
No, flip it around.
Mario Williams was on the elevator with you?
Yes.
All right, Keith.
Okie dokie.
Keith, we...
All right, yeah, we're doing.
Thanks for listening.
Appreciate the call, Keith. I don't know why Keith thought that Jennifer Gardner's raising from Joe Burrow. How many national championships did Jennifer Gardner win? How many Super Bowls has Jennifer Gardner been to?
It's a really good question. I'm not going to get into mine because, I mean, traveling with the team, you end up with a lot of those. But, Jennifer Gardner's a pretty woman.
Oh, Mick Cronin, too. Mick Cronin was once on an elevator.
You're taller than him?
That's a step down.
Eye to eye.
Oh.
Eye to eye.
So it's close.
Yeah, he's a giant of a man. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You know, my pipe dream for the next head coach of the Texans, which, like, whether we think of Lovie Smith being fired, I think we're all in agreement that Lovie should have been let go, at least us here, Blankers, BMAC. Now, some of our listeners, I think, wanted Lovie back. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement that the Texans should have let Lovie go. But even from like separate that for a moment, just the content that Casario is delivering for three straight years of a coaching search, I'm really appreciative of. But we know that my dude is Ben Johnson. I want Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for Detroit. He's my wish list. He's my head coach number one. I have seen some reports that the two candidates, at least right away, for the Texans are Jonathan Gannon and Ben Johnson. We've seen D'Amico Ryans floated around as well. Aaron Wilson saying D'Amico Ryans would not be interested in the job. I love everything about Ben Johnson, especially if you're going quarterback in the first round. I call up Ben Johnson. I tell Ben Johnson, here's a blank check for as long as you want it. It's guaranteed money. I'm staying out of whatever you want to do with the coaching staff. If you need my advice, I'm here to help. And you can have the second pick of the NFL draft to draft whatever quarterback that you want at number two. That's how bad I want Ben Johnson. Look at that team, Blankers. Jared Goff is having a career renaissance at the quarterback position. We all thought, look, the Rams traded him in a first rounder to get him out of town, get rid of the contract. They did get Matthew Stafford, but they were getting rid of Jared Goff.
They got what they wanted short term, but the long term ramifications of the way the long term trade looks, it looks like it's heavily weighted for the Lions.
DeAndre Swift has been a bust for the Detroit Lions. They all thought he was going to be very good. He has not been very good, but no problem for Ben Johnson. You know what Ben Johnson is doing? He's getting yards from Jamal Williams, over 1,000 yards, 17 touchdowns. Jamal Williams, who's a career backup. Like, anybody could pick up Jamal Williams when he's a free agent, former Packer.
Yep.
He's a dime a dozen in the NFL. He has 17 touchdowns. He's breaking Barry Sanders records. St. Brown, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL, was a fourth-round draft pick that Ben Johnson's making look like one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. He schemes it up well. He steals yards with the talent that he has. Ben Johnson is the easy answer for the head coaching position for the Houston Texans.
Well, not only does he get the most out of his players, he's innovative in the plays that he calls. If you look at the way that game was called last night, and especially in key situations, he was doing things and calling plays that weren't your traditional fourth down plays. They weren't your traditional less than 2 minutes to play. You can't afford an incompletion, but you're trying to get a first down and get yards, like the lateral play. Mm-hmm. He's doing things to where he has a full grasp and understanding of everything in today's NFL offensively. And the only caveat that makes you have some concern is he's only done it for 1 year. But in that 1 year's time, he has put together an impressive resume reel of the things that he's been able to do with the players he's been able to do it with. I'm all for that. I think that for him to grow and for him to mature as a coach and get his feet wet and become a true head coach in this league while this franchise is growing and do it with the quarterback that he wants, I'm all for that.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. MJ, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, MJ?
Yeah, this is MJ. I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
What my concern about the David about David Culley and the coach that just got fired.
Lovie Smith.
What I want to know is, I mean, you can't give a guy 1 year to turn something around. And what I want to know is the next coach that they hire, which is, you know, probably going to be, you know, a white coach probably. I'm not playing a race card, but what I want to know is...
Well, then why'd you call him white?
If he turn around... No, I'm just saying he might be... I'm just saying they done hired two black coaches and didn't have success. Okay. Or three, really. So the next coach, I'm just saying, if he is a white coach, and if he turns around and go 4-13, are they going to fire him the first year?
4-13 would be improvement. 4-13 would be going forward. 4-13 would be one more win than they had this year. This year was one less win than they had last year.
But one win more is not success.
It's improvement, right? It's getting better.
Maybe, I mean, it's one win. Now, if they improved to 7 or 8 wins, that's an improvement.
Yeah, but MJ,
Eight wins more.
There's several different ways we're going to evaluate whoever takes this job. One of them is wins and losses. The other thing is not taking the step back you saw this year and the full development or the pattern of developing the young players that you drafted a year ago and the quarterback, more importantly than anything else, and other players you draft this year. You have a ton of draft assets. You have 5 picks in the top 3 rounds. You're going to need to see development out of those guys. You're going to see continued development out of the guys that Caserio drafted a year ago. You're going to see a coaching staff that utilizes them to the best of their abilities to have success on the field, and then the wins and losses. So there's a lot that's going to go into it, not just translating to wins and losses.
MJ,
at the same time, he wasn't given a chance to develop anything.
Well, he was given a few months. I understand your point, MJ, and I want to ask you a question, so don't go anywhere. I see your point. One year to, you know, improve what the Texans were isn't a long sample size. Lovie Smith hasn't been here for 1 year, though. Lovie Smith has been here for 2 years. 1 year as the defensive coordinator for a really bad defense. The second year as a head coach for a really bad team, and again, a really bad defense. And also, I think was not in alignment with what Nick Caserio wanted to do. I don't think he wanted to hire Lovie Smith, was never on the interview list, and Cal McNair is now giving Nick Caserio, okay, you go find the coach that you're willing to get fired with. Lovie Smith sits back in a bunch of cover two. Nick Caserio drafts a man-to-man corner at number 3. They are not aligned. They are a scheme mismatch between the two. So whenever you don't have alignment between head coach and general manager, it's like square peg, round hole. It ain't going to work. MJ, I want to ask you this. Let's just assume that you're running a team.
But
go ahead.
He was only given 1 year as a head coach. Well, we're not talking about defensive coordinator. He was only given 1 year as a head coach.
Sure. He was given 1 year as a head coach for the Houston Texans. They won 3 games. They won one fewer game than they won a year ago with a far less of talent on their roster. Every player that was on last year's team kind of took a step backwards, including Davis Mills. And while you say he was given 1 year as a head coach of the Texans, that's true. 1 year as the head coach of the Texans, won 3 games, was lousy as a defensive coordinator, won 8 games in Tampa Bay, lost his butt at Illinois. This isn't only the Houston Texans when you look at the sample size of Lovie Smith. And MJ, I would ask you this question. If you're out in the coaching carousel right now, you're the general manager of an NFL team and you need to hire a head coach, is Lovie Smith even on your radar?
I don't think he was on anybody's radar.
Thank
but
you.
Why did they hire him in the first place?
Because of the Brian Flores lawsuit. Because of the Brian Flores lawsuit, and Cal McNair went to Nick Caserio and said, we need to hire Lovie Smith because we look bad firing David Culley after his season, and we're about to hire either Josh McCown, some people say. I think it was Jonathan Gannon. Cal McNair felt the pressure and said, we're going to hire Lovie Smith instead. And now Cal McNair, realizing it was not the right hire because they went backwards, and we see nothing from Lovie Smith that makes him deserving of a second year, and Cal's going to Caserio and says, okay, you finally get your head coach, bring in your head coach, and let's see what you got.
But at the same time, you're back to the same square one with David Culley. So why would you even do that as an organization, knowing that you're not expecting him to be your guy?
Yeah.
You're only going to give him 1 year.
They should have fired Culley. They should have fired Culley, MJ. I agree with you on that. I feel like they should have kept David Culley for a second year.
Well, but MJ, here's the thing. Now it's hyper important to do what you haven't been able to do in the past, because now you're bringing into the equation a guy that's going to be considered to be your franchise quarterback carrying the torch for years and years to come. That's why you've got to, you can't afford any more missteps. You've got to get it right this time. Lovie got a bad deal in terms of the fact that the circumstances weren't ideal. The panic button was pushed. The knee-jerk reaction was take someone within our own organization that can quickly get us off the radar of everybody watching and scrutinizing NFL teams, and you move forward. Now, in order to move forward and take the next step with a franchise quarterback also involved in the mix, you need a different coaching staff.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll get to some of your calls and your texts. How are we feeling the day after Lovie Smith has been fired? The regular season comes to a close, and I think the Texans fired Lovie. I already know that they were going to fire Lovie, but I think that they bumped up the timeline. They did it last night because everybody was so mad that they choked away the first overall pick. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's get back out to the HRP listener line. Try to squeeze everybody in. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to Mark, calling from Dallas. Mark, you're on the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Glad to be able to stream you guys in a Dallas world of insufferable radio up here. But I just wanted to talk to you for a minute. In the last couple of weeks, you know, everybody's been kind of blowing back about the possibility of us looking at the Texans in a negative racial way for firing three head coaches that are black. But at the same time, I don't think anybody, when I have to hear every single year about the league being notorious for seldom hiring black head coaches, we don't ever get credit for hiring three of them in a row. I don't see how you can have it both ways.
Appreciate the call,
Thanks,
Mark.
Thanks for listening, Mark.
Romeo Crennel, probably the third he's referencing, who was the interim coach, mm-hmm. of course, after they fired Bill O'Brien early into the season after they went to the AFC divisional round and lost to Kansas City when they blew the big lead. I think Mark brings up a decent point. I hate that it's about race, to be honest with you. Like, and I understand why it's there. A lot of people shy away from the conversations. I don't like shying away from the conversations. I don't believe that the Texans fired Cully and Lovie Smith because they're black.
Because of the color scan, agree.
I don't believe. Now, Lovie Smith, I do think, was hired because he's black, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Actually,
now,
not I don't fired. Think they were fired.
Right. That's why yes. I said. That's what yes, I said. Yes, yes, that's yes, what yes, I said. Yes. They weren't fired because they're black. I don't think that David Cully was hired because he's black. I do believe that Lovie Smith was hired because he was black. He didn't get hired until the Brian Flores lawsuit. He was never on the interview list, was not a finalist for the Houston Texans. I think that Cal McNair got a little worried about it and said, why don't we just promote Lovie Smith from defensive coordinator to the head
button,
coach?
We said a panic button, knee-jerk,
never interviewed for the job.
Quick to get off the radar of everybody watching NFL hires as you can. Yeah. Kyle bailed.
So I don't think that you can give the Texans credit for hiring two black head coaches because Lovie Smith was a panic move, worried about the lawsuit from Brian Flores. Now, the David Cully hire, they hired David Cully. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they hired David Cully because he was black, though. So neither coach was fired because they were black, and I don't think that David Cully was hired because of that. Now, Lovie Smith, you can make the case. I want a good football coach. I don't care. Like, if D'Amico Ryans is high on my list. He's not ahead of Ben Johnson, but it's not because Ben Johnson's white and D'Amico Ryans is black. If D'Amico Ryans was the offensive mind for Detroit and I thought that he could out-scheme everybody offensively, and I know I'm going quarterback at number two, give me D'Amico Ryans. Like, I want the best football coach. Could not care less about the skin color.
We knew it was inevitable that if this move was made, this fallout was going to happen, and they were going to try, whether they answer to it or not, they were going to have to face the music that they were going to be scrutinized because it's already started. And there's been a lot of people on Twitter and using their platforms to voice their displeasure with what the Texans did. This is different because of the fact that the other variable in the mix now is just not taking a basement-ridden, roster-deprived football team and trying to dig it out of the depths of the Bill O'Brien hellhole. This is now you have an opportunity to like change the entire complexion of your franchise going forward by getting someone that can upgrade the roster immediately, by taking the most important position on the field at quarterback and getting someone that you're going to put all your eggs in their basket and say, take us to the promised land, be our franchise guy. And with that being said, again, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. I need a guy that's an offensive-minded head coach. I need a guy that's an offensive-minded and very forward-thinking offensive coordinator. And that's the reason why the coaching change was made. I don't think that that Caserio was the guy that made the decision and had a ton of say in what they did to quickly get off the NFL, the NFL media's radar when they hired Lovey a year ago. I think that Lovey will still get his money going forward, so it's not like he's SOL and just thrown to the curb to say, hey, fend for yourself. And he had a couple of years here. But I think in terms as it relates to a head coach, because of the correlation, because what they need going forward with the guys they're going to take in this draft, or at least guy, and maybe guys with a receiver involved, I think they needed offensive-minded guys. That's why the change was made as soon as it was. It's unfortunate. It's a horrible look. But I don't think it's about race. It's about the right play right now for the guys that they're trying to get in here.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out there for Austin. Austin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on this afternoon, Austin?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Love y'all's content. I just have a few quick takes. I'll take it. Just want to get your opinion on them real quick. So first is one. I think at this point, and I know it's kind of, just sad and everything the way I sound, but I'm just kind of done with it, you know, with the whole front office thing. Until I see something where I feel like there's actual progress and positivity going into the front office and I actually feel like they've got a plan in place and they're going through with it for at least a year, I'm basically going to wait and see. Kind of thing. At this point, I'm not going to get my hopes up anymore. The second thing is that I don't know if y'all watched, but I've kind of gone in the scenario of, okay.
Oh, we lost you, Austin. You have to call back. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. You can either call or text it. I think what Austin said is completely fine. Like, he's going to be hesitant before he believes, right? Like, reserved optimism. And I think that's fair. And I think that's where we should be with Nick Caserio, quite frankly. Like, Lamont's getting on to me a little bit for, he said, does sound a little sus that you're so okay with Caserio. I said earlier in the show that I'd be okay. Like, I would have been fine if they fired Nick Caserio yesterday.
You were, I wasn't, because I gave you the reasons why. Because I don't think it's fair to put a rebuild on a guy in a year and a half with no first round or second round picks in the first year.
I believe that too. Like, I'm on your side with that one. Now, I was ticked off yesterday that the Texans won that game and couldn't do wrong right. But I mean, I think it's fair to also evaluate Caserio through 2 years and say he's been very mediocre. Do I think that the talent on this team is better than it was a year ago? Yes. Is the roster improving? Yes. Now, I would like to think that if the Killer Bees had two first-round draft picks and had a bunch of draft picks, I think we could have probably made the roster better. We could just go take the highest player available on mock drafts, and the roster would have been better because the roster was so bad. We're not saying that we could do the GM job. But I think Caserio deserves more time, and I also think Caserio deserves... I also think that Caserio deserves a head coach that Cal McNair didn't pick for him. And if we're going to put Nick Caserio on the hot seat, okay, that's fair, but give him his head coach. I believe that Cal McNair is doing that. That, to me, is the silver lining of this. Lovie Smith, I think, was a regression. I don't think any other team in the NFL is going to be knocking on Lovie Smith's door. I think he's probably coached his last game in the NFL. I say that with a high degree of confidence. I don't think he'll ever call a game defensively again in the NFL. Really? If he's ever going to coach again in the NFL, I think it's going to be a positional coach, and he's getting paid so much by the Texans not to coach. I think Lovie's done. I think Lovie's going to hang him up, enjoy retirement, and I hope Lovey enjoys retirement on top of that. But Caserio deserves to go out and hire that. Whether it's Jonathan Gannon, I don't really want Jonathan Gannon. Whether it's D'Amico Ryans, whether it's Ben Johnson, Caserio deserves that one head coach that he's either going to live with, die with, have success with, get fired with. And Cal McNair needed to give Nick Caserio that rope. That's the biggest silver lining to me, is that Cal is saying, look, Nick, we're going to talk about this. We're going to hire the head coach ultimately that you want. But if this doesn't work, it's your butt on the line.
Well, he clearly stated it too. By putting it out there in writing in a press release, he basically said, so that, because we continually ask the question, who made the decision to hire Lovey? And we're continually left in the dark as to how that process took place. We kind of have a good idea of the fact that it was a knee-jerk and a panic reaction, but we don't really know who were the seats in the room with the voices that were heard, or was it just Cal? This time, he clearly defined it for you. He laid it out before the process even begins. He said, Nick and I, being Cal, are going to make this decision. Mm-hmm. So now there are nobody that's going to question this time around.
Exactly.
Like, so to your point, and exactly what you wanted.
I thought that was smart
by Cal. Very, very smart. Because now whether it was strategic or just honest or both, he's leaving nothing to question. This one is full, because he knows it's a horrible look. Even if they were both black coaches, and it's never been happened in the history of the league before, that you went out and hired a new coach both 2 years in a row, hired and fired a head coach. It's never been done before.
Well, San Francisco did that. They did that recently and then got Shanahan. Was it the Tuimasella guy and Chip Kelly?
But one was an interim that he was pushing for the job.
I don't think so.
I think Jim Tomasulo.
I think he was a full-time guy.
I don't know that he was.
We'll have to double check.
Okay, but anyway, from what I've heard and the things that I've read, this is the first time ever in the history of the NFL that they went back-to-back hires and fires of an NFL coach, and then on top of it, because they were African-American. Regardless, are you saying you're right?
No.
Oh.
This is separate. This is
but regardless,
minor breaking news.
I just think that when it gets down to it now and the importance of it, put it all on Casario's shoulders. Because I said in a year's time, if we're still evaluating, questioning, and pointing fingers at Nick Casario, now it's a fair conversation to have that needs to be shown the door. But you can't expect a rebuild to happen in a year and a half when you don't even have full draft classes and you didn't have a trade partner or know that Deshaun wanted to be traded when he took the job.
Yeah. I agree. Now, I don't love Casario enough where if Cal said, you know, I want a fresh slate. He said that after the game yesterday. I'd be like, okay, Cal, look at you. Showing you're brave. Showing you got some bravado, which Cal's always had some bravado.
But I get
it.
If you wanted a fresh slate, the GM should go too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if that was the message, then I could have been on board with that. I would have been okay with that. It's not what I would have done, but I wouldn't be mad at it. If Casario would have went with Lovey last night, I would be sitting here right now saying, look at Cal McNair. He's got some cojones. I appreciate that from Cal McNair. And quite honestly, look, I know that we think Cal McNair is dumb, and I don't disagree with that. I think he's a cool cat, but is he dumb? Okay, I'm not going to push back on that. Cal McNair, if he has one thing, it's a checkbook. He's willing to pay off these coaches. And secondly, he's willing to make moves that require a lot of courage. Like, he fired Bill O'Brien, what, 4 games into a season where he was coming off the playoffs. Now, a lot of moves led to that. He also kept Jack Easterby. Like, keeping Jack Easterby might have been the biggest, ballsiest move that there is. Everybody wanted Jack Easterby fired. True. He kept him.
Very true.
That's incredibly ballsy from Cal McNair. He fired Cully after a year. He fired Lovey after a year. Like, Cal McNair has some courage. He might be dumb, but he has courage, and he has the money to back it up, too.
He knows how to read the room, too. He realizes
or that somebody that does for him. Maybe, I don't know.
But people were clamoring that he needs to be more personally hand-stamped involved in the day-to-day.
Yep. Here's some of the minor breaking news that just got me really excited. Aaron Wilson and Tom Pelissero have just reported the Texans requested an interview with Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson for their head coaching job. One time, Casario. Get it right one time. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to BMAC for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.